You got to love those Cubs. I mean, even if you're a White Sox fan, you got to appreciate all the fantasy fodder the Cubs are giving us. Addison Russell being called up. It's April 21st. It's Tuesday morning. I'm Adam Azer with Al Melkiewer and Heath Cummings. Good morning. What's up, guys?
Well, I'm so glad that I got these questions last night about when Russell's coming up. And, you know, I said stuff like, oh, in a few weeks. That was great.
Well, at least they saved a year of service time. It's like they did the same exact thing with Russell pretty much, huh?
Looks that way.
I'm just really happy. It's much easier to say his name than it is Arizmendi Alcantara, so thank you.
Alcantara took care of that for you. He got sent down to AAA. Russell got called up. We're going to talk about the most traded list. Anthony DeSclafani with a great start last night. Edinson Volquez with a great start last night. Take your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Hey, Luis Valbuena is a top six third baseman in Roto. DFS talk. And plenty more. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, at Al Melk, CBS, M-E-L-C, and at Heath Cummings Sr., S-R, Heath Cummings, S-R. Heath's our daily, our DFS guy, so he does videos on the site, he does articles, blog posts, and of course you can get his advice on Twitter as well. Oh, a new podcast, by the way, that we just launched yesterday. It's the Sportsline Opening Line podcast. It's for the gambling community out there if you want to make some bets. I correctly picked a Mariners upset yesterday. That was the highlight of my baseball wagers or baseball advice. I incorrectly, Heath, said don't bet on the Royals. I think they are too much of a favorite against the Twins.
You can never be too much of a favorite against the Twins.
Well, the
There's
Twins had
no such thing.
They had won 4 out of 5, but now they've won 4 out of 6. Okay, let's get started with the show. Russell and Flo is the name of this little segment. It's about Addison Russell. People want to know who they should drop for him. And first, Zachary L. says, open the podcast with Addison Russell fab talk. How much of your free agent acquisition budget should you use on Addison Russell?
I've got a number, but I want to hear Al's number first, but I won't change my number.
Okay. If you did, we wouldn't know it.
That's true.
I'm going to say 30%.
I was going to say 22%. Mine just inherently sounds more informed because I was more specific, I think.
Absolutely. I'm going to use that tip going forward.
Very good. Very good tactic there, Heath.
Thank you.
So we have an auction league where he went for $47 to Brian Flood. And I emailed Brian Flood and I said, you are going to be talked about on the podcast. Give me your reason for using $47. And he said his official statement is, yes, $47 is a ton, but I wanted to guarantee he ended up on my roster. I feel he'll take over the everyday second base job in Chicago while qualifying at shortstop for fantasy purposes. My only shortstop is the injured Ben Zobrist, and I can always move him to outfield if both are playing well. If Scott thinks Chris Bryant will receive MVP votes, then it's not crazy to think Russell can be a top 12 Roto shortstop going forward. It's a mixed league. In an AL-only or NL-only format, I would not have spent that much on one player, but who am I saving it for in a mixed league?
Well, I feel like the comment about Scott thinking Bryant will get MVP votes, I think that was just gratuitous there. I don't know what it had to do with anything.
No, it seemed like there were several logical fallacies throughout that email.
Okay, well, what is wrong with that logic of spending half your budget on Addison Russell
if
in a
Chris
league?
Bryant could be an MVP, then anything else is possible.
Well, no, I mean, look, can Addison Russell be a top 12 Roto shortstop going forward?
He could, but I don't understand how that translates to almost $50.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit of a reach, Mr. Flood.
You know, Alcides Escobar could be and likely will be a top 12 shortstop. And if somebody dropped him in a league, which, by the way, is not inconceivable that would happen.
Jose Iglesias could be a top 12 shortstop in Roto.
Right, and he probably was picked up for a buck.
I could also be like a world champion surfer, but, you know, neither thing's probably going to happen.
I would not be surprised at all if Jose Iglesias is better than Addison Russell.
That's a bold prediction.
I don't know that it really is.
It's not a prediction. It's a... Because he didn't predict it. So you wouldn't exactly... who would you rather have if both were available? Russell or Iglesias?
I would rather have Russell, but I feel like if we're setting odds on it, Russell's really only like a 63-37 favorite.
Okay. Al sees it much differently, I assume. What are your expectations? Let's put some numbers out there. What do you think Russell is going to produce this year?
I actually was just looking at his minor league stats, but rather than go off the cuff, I'm going to go with my projection since I actually put some thought into that. So I apologize because I'm totally grinding this podcast to a halt. All right, so I had him for a much later call-up, just 60 games played, so I'm obviously going to have to prorate that. But that would still even give him like 15 home runs, just under 20 steals. I've got him for a 267 average, 325 on base.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I think that's probably not too far. I think that 20 steals might be a little high.
Not exactly a must-add in a one shortstop league?
Yeah, I would say he is a must-add because of the position. Because there's just so much mediocrity beyond the...
But you're kind of projecting him for mediocrity.
With upside.
That's true.
There's a lot of mediocrity without a lot of upside.
Okay.
Let's continue.
So that's it. That's why I'm qualifying the position, because yeah, those numbers, even if you translate those numbers to what they would look like for, you know, say a number 12 third baseman, mm-hmm. it's a tougher choice at third base because you've got all those guys like Harrison and Zimmerman and Wright Longoria who could be anywhere from like the fifth best at the position to, or even higher, to the 13th or 14th best.
Right.
Where at shortstop. I just don't think anybody beyond the top four is going to be a difference maker.
Now, let's continue Russell and Flo as we can compare him to some other players. Eric Spletzer. Addison Russell, should I drop Odor, Walker, Brett Laurie, or Elvis Andrews for Addison Russell? I would drop Laurie without hesitating.
Yeah,
I would too.
Laurie, I don't think I'd drop Odor.
I don't think I'd drop Andrews.
Okay, I had that very decision this morning, Odor or Russell. And I dropped Odor for Russell because it's a daily league, and I think the position eligibility helps where Russell is going to be eligible at short and second.
Okay.
But I don't know if I would have done it otherwise, whereas Odor is only eligible at second.
Yeah. What were your alternatives? Because we talked
nobody.
About
Odor's online. The worst player I have.
Yeah, then I think you have to do it. I would have done it reluctantly too, but.
But not Andrews, not Neil Walker?
I would drop Walker. I'm just not a believer. I think last year was a career year for Walker. So I think Andrews, I know a lot of people are very frustrated with him. I still think there is his career year ahead of him. That could be this year, could be next year.
The nice thing is about this question, he only has to drop one of these guys, and we're all in agreement. He needs to just drop Brett Laurie.
I just want to kind of put Russell in perspective for people who are making these decisions. Ryan in Fort Wayne. Oh, you guys ready to cringe? I dropped Rusne Castillo in my 10-team Roto League. I picked up Addison Russell. Should he have dropped Colton Wong instead?
Let's see. If this is a points league, then
it's a roto league.
Mixed roto.
Tougher decision, but it's 10-teamer. So yeah, I think he should have.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to pick up Wong. So
even if they do, I don't know that Wong is a slam dunk top 10 second baseman in roto.
Dropping him is never the Wong choice.
And Ryan also wants to know how long it will be until Russell's second base eligible. He just needs 5 games there, and he's being called up to play second. Dave Lincoln, Addison Reed, or Elvis Andrews in roto?
I do have to go Andrews.
Yeah.
All right. We can move on from our Addison Russell discussion and get to the big news. Jonathan Lucroy, a bad season's getting worse for the Brewers. Lucroy's going on the DL with a fractured toe. We've talked about some catcher replacements. Plawecki's out there in a two-catcher league probably. Mets are calling him up to be their starting catcher. Anybody else that you guys could think of that might be available in one or two-catcher leagues?
Realmuto, Avila, Derek Norris, Jason Castro.
Not pretty in many cases. Scooter Jeanette cut his finger.
I think Norris for this week. I mean, he's a good play this week, but it's too late for that.
Yeah. Scooter Jeanette cut his finger in the shower. He could end up on the DL.
He tweeted it.
Yeah, that was gross.
Yeah, it was.
I think he was in the shower too long. Because you know if you're in the under the water too long and your hands get kind of soft and the skin slices.
Prune hands.
He just needs to shower a little quicker.
Let him know. Nolan Arenado, scratched with a sore left wrist, been bothering him for a bit. He thinks he'll be back soon. Greg Holland is a grade one pectoral strain. That's good news. He could come back when he's first eligible. And Daniel Norris is going through a dead arm phase, so consider that. If you
so pectoral strains are on the 1 through 5 grading scale?
I think they're 1 through 3, Al.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing then.
And this isn't grade the trade. Stat of the day. We'll talk about Sabathia a little bit more later, but pitched the first complete game in the American League this season. How about that? And it was an 8-inning complete game loss.
Not good if you stacked right-handed Tigers.
No, and I think a lot of people did. And yeah, I think we all raise our hand, I'm assuming. Heath, are you in that club?
Yes, they were one of three teams that I stacked yesterday, so those lineups I just set on fire.
You know, it was really awesome. My two biggest scorers in daily yesterday were Derek Norris and Ryan Rayburn.
Yes.
My lowest scorer was Miguel Cabrera.
Yes. Yes, I had Norris and Rayburn in almost every league, so that worked out okay. Anyway.
So, but by the way, Sabathia, 62% owned, 0-3 with a 4.35 ERA, a strikeout per inning, which is good, a 1.26 whip, which isn't very good. But did you know opponents are batting .293, only slugging .360 against Sabathia, and they have a .375 BABIP? What does that say to you?
It says that it appears he is a better pitcher this year. And even before this game last night, it seemed like he deserved better than the results he was getting.
I think everybody should definitely rush out to pick him up so they can own him for his next terrible start.
He's given up, I think, two extra base hits all year or something.
That's
like that.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Maybe more than that, but he has not given up a home run, I don't think. Maybe one?
He has.
One home run?
One home run.
There's a lot of maybes and kind ofs in this CC Sabathia discussion.
Yeah, I know. He is a better pitcher this year, but I'm not rushing to pick him up. But we'll compare him later. Email of the day number one is from Kyle. Given his strong performance both this season and last season, what are the chances Odrysa Merdespagne can earn a spot in the Padres rotation?
Well, it relies on Kennedy being out for a while and or Brandon Morrow getting hurt, so you know, I think there's a good chance.
I think Kennedy's coming back Saturday.
Yeah.
All right, so Morrow needs to step it up then.
The thing is, I like Despaigne.
Yeah.
But I feel like the chances of him being good if he is in the rotation are higher than the chances of him being in the rotation, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he's there, I think you should have him on your roster, especially if he's starting at home. But I don't...
And this was a course.
I know.
Yeah,
great start.
Yeah. I'm really mad at myself because in my daily column, I do something called Get Weird at the end of it. And I choose a couple players that just don't really make any sense, but I think they might be good anyways. And I really wanted to pick Despaigne, and I didn't have the guts to yesterday.
No, we're in the same boat because I didn't have the guts to make him a recommended start this week.
Yeah.
Even though there was a part of me that wanted to.
The key here is have more guts.
Email of the day number two. No, I don't agree with that, by the way. If you started Despaigne, you were dumb. I mean, I know it turned out
so
good.
Trust the process.
Here's a no. The process with Despaigne is start him at home and don't start him on the road. And he does not.
Of course.
He's not a strikeout pitcher, so he's going to give up a lot of contact. That Coors, I think, 7.5 out of 10 times, that's not going to be a good start.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Speaking of guts, that makes me think of a leaky gut, which makes me think of a gluten-free diet, which makes me think of Mark Teixeira, who homered last night against a guy whose nickname is Big Pasta. There's irony in there.
230 wow. Batting average, 30 home runs for Mark Teixeira. Agree or disagree?
Well, I'm sorry, batting average?
230 batting average, 30 home runs.
No, I'm going to sell the home runs.
No, because I don't think that A-Rod can hit 31, and I've got A-Rod to lead the team in home runs. So.
Okay. How about a 230 batting average, higher or lower for Tex?
Higher.
I'll go lower, but just barely. I think 230 is a great over-under.
Email of the day number two is from Joe from New Smyrna Beach. Gosh. I just added Souza in a keeper league. Waiver claims I got him off waivers. He'll be at $10 if I keep him next year. Should I sell high on Souza with his high strikeout rate, or do you think he'll continue to produce regularly? What do you think about Souza, guys?
Yeah,
Dr. Souza.
I don't think he'll continue to produce regularly, but I don't know that he's done enough yet to be able to really sell high either.
I'm not so sure because I'm getting a lot of questions about him on Twitter.
Okay.
And the small sample size, but the people I'm hearing from seem to compare him to players that I think are considerably better.
So maybe if somebody's valuing him as like a third outfielder,
yep,
then sell.
I think so.
But if somebody's valuing him as a fourth or fifth, then I'd maybe... Because I think the nice thing about him, and the reason I think he will have more hot stretches, is he's going to have more road trips to Toronto, road trips to New York, Baltimore, Boston. And I think he's going to be really good there. I think he may struggle and have long stretches of not being very good as well, though.
And I think we have to look at his lefty-righty splits, which I'm going to pull up now. But I believe he does pretty much all of his damage against lefties. And he strikes out a ton. But you got to be encouraged. Sousa's 85% owned. I'm going to just try to stall a little bit so I can get his lefty-righty splits. And say, Al, I really like your shirt today, the maroon one. It's a
Thank
good
you.
One.
It was a strategic choice because Scott wore his maroony sort of shirt yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And I have to be careful not to, wear it on the same day so that we look like two-fifths of Maroon 5 in video.
Then you'd have to do the whole video in falsetto. So Sousa, actually, it's very good against righties right now, 294, 385, 441. But against lefties, 273, 333, 818 slugging percentage in only 11 at-bats.
The bigger thing is Sousa is really, really good at the Rogers Center, and that's about it.
Okay.
He just went crazy at the Rogers Center. 375, 444, 813.
Well, look, I think
he's 2-for-16 outside of the Rogers Center this year.
Really?
I believe that's accurate, or at least it was accurate.
And now you got more splits yesterday to look up.
Yeah, if it was accurate yesterday, it's accurate today.
Yeah, because I don't think he played
he
anywhere else, so
can't be sure.
Quote of the day, guys.
Uh-huh.
It's from Ned Yost.
Well, why not?
We've been talking about him since he first got here. We felt last year was a big year for him. He really turned the corner with his mechanics on some things. That's Yost on Edinson Volquez, who is 2-1 with a 1.99 ERA, 3 walks, 17 strikeouts in 22 2/3, a .75 whip for Volquez. I will remind you that Volquez made 6 appearances last year to begin the season, 5 starts, and he only walked 6. And then he walked 14 in his next 5 starts. But what do you think about Edinson Volquez? The Royals seem pretty high on him, and he's off to a great start, and he's 83% owned.
Okay, Ned Yost loves all of his players and only says nice things about them. So I think you have to take anything he says about a Royals player with a grain of salt. That being said, I think a lot of people thought Volquez couldn't be as good as he was last year because he was lucky last year and his peripherals just weren't that good. Well, his peripherals are even better so far this year in a very small sample size. There's a good reason to think he's going to have a really low BABIP, and I'm encouraged. I mean, he's a must-own.
Hey, I mean, the control's great, and that was a huge part of his progress last year. He's getting the swings and misses this year, so I'm looking at the game log and see the last 2 starts have both come against the Twins.
That helps.
It helps a lot. Yeah, they're the second worst contact hitting team in the American League right now. So I think he might be, Volquez might be a little bit overvalued.
Well, who would have guessed that Al was going to rain on the Royals parade?
How about this?
What I do.
Rest of season, Volquez or Drew Hutchison?
Yep, Hutchison.
What? Volquez.
I did move Volquez up yesterday in my rankings.
Yeah, he's 174th amongst right-handed starting pitchers.
He's
in the
idiot. League.
You have to start somewhere.
How about Volquez or Duffy?
Volquez.
And my gut says Duffy. Let's see what my new rankings say. Yeah,
this
my
is
ranking.
Really difficult for because
my rankings.
He's going to have to say a Royal is higher.
I say lots of nice things about Danny Duffy most of the time.
Volquez or Anthony DeSclafani?
DeSclafani was really good last night.
Yeah, he was. I still didn't win my FanDuel tournament with DeSclafani as my starting pitcher.
Yes, I think I'd have to go with DeSclafani.
What's the matter with you? I'm going Volquez.
No, you're not.
You don't believe in DeSclafani at all.
I didn't up until this last start. I'm going to have to dig a little deeper, see what happened there, because I really didn't see that coming at all.
Well, look. Go ahead.
in fairness, I mean, Al talks about how Volquez's last two starts have come against the Twins. The Brewers aren't hitting anything right now.
Yeah, well, you called it yesterday, right? You said
that was Scott, actually.
Okay.
Whoa. What was Scott?
Scott called the Brewers being the worst offense
in
baseball.
Is that
but
who
also
did it?
Saying it was a good matchup.
Wait a second. Are you guys kidding me right now? Because that was 1,000,000% me. And Scott would like scoffed at it a little bit when I said I was starting Anthony DeSclafani. He's like, no.
Yeah, Scott made a great call there, didn't he?
I think...
That was me.
You know, I just know that whenever I need starting pitcher advice, I turn to Scott because he pulls things like this out.
No, that was me. I said, who had the... Are you doing this on purpose?
Yes.
Oh, okay, you jerks. No, I mentioned that the Brewers have scored the fewest runs in baseball. Yeah, but DeSclafani, I got more on him, so I did want to talk more about DeSclafani.
I think we should because he's got a 0.61 whip.
He's got Pittsburgh. He's so far has faced Pittsburgh, who is 10th in the NL in runs, the Cubs, who are 8th, and Milwaukee, who's last. 4 walks, 16 strikeouts. I read a little bit today some of the recaps, and Brian Price was talking about how they traded Latos for him. They did some scouting on him. They liked what they saw with DeSclafani and projected him to be in the rotation, not this year, but in the future. Not only this year, but in the future.
You know who could really use him?
The Marlins?
Yes.
All right, so what are you guys thinking right now? DeSclafani's 77% owned.
I still think that sounds about right, and that's probably a little inflated because of the two-start week this week. The ground ball tendencies the fly ball tendencies haven't been quite as extreme as I feared they would be. So obviously that's a game changer if he moderates those. The control's been awesome, and that's been his strong suit all along.
FanDuel hosts one-day fantasy contests, and you want to get a bonus of up to $200? We'll just use our offer code CBS. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel is going to match it with up to $200 because it's going to get earned as you play. So a bonus of $200 if you go to FanDuel.com right now and use the offer code CBS, and we'll talk about DFS lineups for you later on in the show. Brian Price, so he had a lot to say about Anthony DeSclafani. He also had a lot to say about the media. He went on a crazy rant. He used the F word like 50 or 70 times or something like that. It's pretty epic. I'm not sure if you guys saw it or have an opinion on it.
I haven't seen it yet, and maybe you guys haven't seen this. This is how I rate all manager rants. Of course, it has something to do with the Royals. Hal McRae had the greatest manager rant, I think, ever. He actually bloodied...
Better than Lee Elia.
He bloodied a reporter's head throwing a phone across the office.
It was different than Lee Elia. Lee Elia was is my all-time favorite.
That was the Cubs way back when, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But yeah, Price, I'm trying to look up. They counted how many F-words he said. Yeah, so you guys should check this out. I could read an excerpt if you'd like.
Well, I think I'd rather just get the full sample.
77 uses of the F-word or a variant.
And that's 11, a lot.
And 11 uses of a vulgar term for feces. 2 bovine, 1 equine. This is in the Cincinnati Inquirer.
Wow. And I guess, and this is what we were talking about before, because I haven't seen it yet. I heard about it, of course, but what was he mad about?
Okay, he was mad that the Cincinnati Inquirer reported a few things. One, that Devin Mesoraco wasn't available for a game. And two, that Tucker Barnhart... Oh, that Mesoraco and Tucker Barnhart were on the same flight to St. Louis. So the Mesoraco thing was he was mad that the opponents knew something... that Mesoraco wasn't going to be available, and that gave them a competitive disadvantage, the Reds a competitive disadvantage. And the Barnhart thing was that they were going to have to demote Kyle Shipworth, and Price didn't get a chance to tell Shipworth because this report came out, so he was really TO'd about that one.
What does he expect the media to do? Come to him first and say, is it okay if we tell people this?
And I read somebody claiming that he was the one who actually told the media these things. Is that...
I don't know. He's saying that the media is going out and tweeting these things and giving people competitive advantages. We don't need to know that Tucker Barnhart's in the bleeping airport when we haven't spoken to Kyle Shipworth. I think we owe that bleeping kid the right to be called and told that he's going to be sent down.
Tell him before the media finds out.
Has it always been this way where we just tell bleeping everybody everything so every bleeping opponent we have has to know exactly what we have, which bleeping relievers are available, which guys are here, et cetera, et cetera. It's nobody's bleeping business. We have to deal with this bleeping bleep. It's just, I think he's just frustrated and took it out on the media. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. I don't know if it's like the media maybe shouldn't tell clubhouse secrets, but at the same time, they are the media. That's kind of what they get paid to do.
Right. It's their job.
Yeah. I'd say he was a little out of line. Monday standouts. Who stood out to you guys on Monday? Again, we'll talk most traded in a little bit and DFS and emails later, but who stood out to you guys on Monday?
Well, I'm going to steal from your list because it's hard not to see Luis Valbuena as a standout with a couple of ding-dongs.
Yeah, and he's only 11th in points leagues at third base. Third base, you know, guys like A-Rod have been good, Moustakas. But he's 6th in Roto, and I didn't realize he hit 16 home runs last year and 33 doubles and did not play
the full
season.
Yeah, I think a lot of people didn't realize that because he's still sort of, I feel like people kind of mention his name with a smirk, you know?
Yeah, I thought it was crazy.
Ice cold Starling Marte is now red hot.
Wait. Let's stay on the Valbuena, if you don't mind.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were just listing off players.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Marte is on deck for you. But he's 24% owned Valbuena, and I want to know how you value him at third base and if people need to be picking him up.
Well, it does seem under-owned to me. Now, granted, I just talked about how there's a lot of, you know, good options with upside at third base. I'm part of the problem because I just checked my rankings. I've got him 38th, and I'm looking at a lot of players ahead of him.
Allie doesn't play for the Royals.
Yeah, well, I think I made that mistake, so I need to put him higher.
Yeah, Al, who would you rather have, Volquez or Valbuena to play third base?
That's great. Valbuena or Moustakas?
He could be a Royals pitcher with that V name.
Yeah, Valbuena or Moustakas?
I'll go Moose.
Heath?
Moose. Yeah, I think his ownership percentage is probably just about right. I don't think he's going to be somebody that you're going to start on a regular basis.
Cody Ashey or Luis Valbuena?
Valbuena.
Valbuena.
Chisholm Hall or Valbuena?
Valbuena.
Valbuena.
Hey, did you guys check out what Starling Marte has been doing lately?
Starling Marte, he's actually hit 3 home runs in his last 4 games.
Yes, he has.
His batting average is all the way up to 178.
Yes, it is. One walk, 17 strikeouts, Heath.
Well, that's not good.
No.
But I feel like there's probably a lot of people that were frustrated with Starling Marte and benched him, and here he is.
Well, what do you think? Okay, so Marte, kind of interesting. A lot of people, users, just the average fantasy baseball player, I think a lot of people thought Marte was about to be like the next elite stolen base, home run threat.
Right.
And I think Alan Scott kind of
booed all over that.
No, I mean, look, they liked Marte. Just kind of thought he was going a little bit too early in drafts.
Right.
So that's a word that Brian Price should have used, poo-poo.
Yeah.
So what do you think about Starling bleeping Marte?
I think that the hype on him probably got a little out of control before the season, and the hate on him got a little out of control during his slump, and this Starling Marte is a guy that you need to just leave in your lineup because you don't know when he's going to have that week where he gets hot, and you're going to have to suffer through the 2-for-16s.
I just think there's an awfully lot of good players who have gotten off to similar or worse starts this year, and I think Marte deserved a little more benefit of the doubt based on how he finished last season.
And it's one of those situations where it's not really his fault. It's people put these expectations on him that, as Alan Scott noted, probably weren't realistic. And then they were probably more upset with themselves and just took it out on Starling.
Who are you more worried about, Hisashi Iwakuma or Cody Allen?
Oh, man. Iwakuma was going to be so good last night.
No,
I don't
understand
how, like, every fly ball that Iwakuma gives up turns into a home run.
You have to wonder if it's just one of those years, you know?
Yeah, well, do we make that determination after 3 starts?
No.
Okay.
I'm just merely wondering, not proclaiming.
Is he a buy low guy for you guys?
I mean, if I can really get him cheap, sure.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I still believe that it's not going to continue to be this bad.
So if you could turn one of these hot waiver wire pitchers like a Volquez or a Burnett or a DeSclafani into Iwakuma, you'd do it immediately.
Not Burnett, for reasons that I've talked about. I'm all in. But DeSclafani and Volquez, you betcha.
Heath?
Yeah, I'm all in on Iwakuma.
And I am worried about Cody Allen.
Yeah, you know.
Because I always thought there was, well, I shouldn't say I always thought, but I saw the potential for him to have this kind of trouble because of being such an extreme fly ball pitcher.
But the other thing that was brought up reading the Cleveland Plain Dealer today, all the appearances over the last two seasons, 153 appearances over the last two seasons. So he's been used a lot, and I guess Brian Shaw kind of had a similar downward trend after a lot of appearances. So
I don't know. I guess I'm not really that worried about him because I feel like it's the Indians, and they're going to struggle, and they're going to be just mediocre, and then the All-Star break's going to get here, and all of a sudden he's going to be unhittable, and they're going to win like 25 out of 30 games like they always do.
Year-to-year velocity is down for Allen, so I'm going to check the month, you know, month-to-month and see if that there's
okay.
some reason to be worried about the workload.
In case you missed it, Allen gave up four runs, one third of an inning, six hits, and he blew the save. No, it probably wasn't even a blown save because it wasn't a save situation, right?
I think it was.
It was 3-0. I'm sorry. So, yeah. Anyway, he struggled, and he's had two really bad appearances this year. And kind of an interesting side note, remember we talked about owners in category leagues drafting nothing but relief pitchers? And then, like, they pitch like 15 innings every week and they try to win saves, ERA, and whip and win three of the five categories.
Right.
Well, I'm going against the guy who did that in our league, and he is Cody Allen.
So he's just done for the week.
I don't know how it's going to play out. This is the fatal flaw of that strategy. I think if you get like two really bad appearances, you might be totally screwed.
I think one, because I mean, he's given up four runs. If he gets to 15 innings, he can't really give up another run.
Yeah, you might be right. He'll win saves, but I don't know about ER whip, and he's certainly going to lose wins and strikeouts. So I think this is probably why I would never go with that strategy.
Yeah,
I've never done it.
It's risky. By the way, compared to last April, his fastball velocity is down about a mile per hour and a half.
Nah, it's no good.
So maybe something to that.
All right, we'll keep an eye on Cody Allen. Time to drop Kendall Graveman?
You can.
Yep.
You can. You know, look, if I drop Daniel Norris in a head-to-head league, liking him for the RP eligibility, I think you can give Graveman the same treatment.
Matt Shoemaker, anybody worried about him? He had two quality starts his first two outings, but they were both six innings, three runs, six and a third, three runs, and then said he didn't have good stuff last night, got beat up a bit, gave up two homers in three innings, five runs against Oakland.
He's been really, even in his good starts, he's looked really hittable. He may have said he didn't have good stuff last night. I'm not sure he's really had good stuff yet. And he wasn't good at all in the spring.
Do you think Shoemaker is a must own in a 10-team league?
No way.
No.
How about a 12-team league?
It's borderline.
I agree with that assessment. I mean, if I've got to pick a side, I think you give him a little bit more of a chance. But yeah, I think he's kind of hanging on by his fingernails.
I will say through three starts, his BABIP against is .333. So that's probably going to come down a little bit.
Let's look at this group of fringy starting pitchers and tell me your three favorites. Burnett, DeSclafani, Peralta, Sabathia, Alfredo Simon, another very good start. Wei-Yin Chen, Justin Masterson, Kendall Graveman, and Odrisa Merdespagne all started yesterday.
Well, I like Burnett the best. And then it's kind of a cluster after that. I'd actually say, well, I was going to say Despagne, but I just don't think he's staying in the rotation.
Right. So. I would say Despagne is definitely in my top three if he had a job, but I don't think he does. I think Kennedy's coming back. I don't know if he gets another start.
Yeah, gosh, I really don't. I'll go to DeSclafani just on the possibility that he can continue to be, you know, good and steady. But I don't know that he's really going to be that much better than the rest of this group.
I'll go Burnett, DeSclafani, and Simon.
His nickname is Disco, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going Burnett, Disco, Pasta.
Yes.
And Al, Burnett, Disco.
Gosh, I hate to say it, but I'm going Pasta too.
Alfredo Simon it is. Give me an order of Alfredo Simon.
That is it.
All right. How about we look at the most traded players in CBSSports.com leagues?
Okay.
John Lester, actually, pitchers are kind of leading the way here. I know off the top of my head, Lester's one and Tanaka's three, and I'll look up who number two is right now. But John Lester's number one. Would you guys be looking to make a play for John Lester?
I have been trying to make a play for John Lester, and at least in the leagues that I'm in so far, his owners, they all say, yes, I'm willing to deal John Lester, but then when it comes down to it, it doesn't seem like they really are.
Well, you're probably lowballing them, Heath.
Yes, I am.
That's kind of the point of the buy low, though, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy low at their value before the season. Doesn't seem like a good deal.
Well, there's buying low and then there's lowballing.
What's an appropriate offer for John Lester?
That's a good question. What would you offer for John Lester? Would you offer like... Well, you would. Okay, so here are two guys that went after John Lester that I think you probably would not want to give up in any deal. Mm-hmm. Arrieta and DeGrom.
That is true. That is true. And that kind of, not to derail this discussion, but just to kind of throw in something I want to talk about more detail later. I've come to the realization after more than 20 years of playing fantasy baseball that I completely fall in love with the players I draft.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I'm not sure. But, you know, those were guys that I drafted a lot, especially DeGrom.
I think I would trade Arrieta for Lester. What I was told, the most recent discussions I had, was I needed to give up Greinke and a starter at another position.
Oh, well, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not give up Arrieta for Lester. I don't think it's crazy, but I don't think you have to. I mean, I guess that's kind of the point. It's like, if you're offering things for John Lester, it should not be anybody that you think is going to be great right now. You should try to buy low. If you're not getting great value, I don't think you should make these trades. You know, kind of like what Scott was saying last week, he's not going to accept a trade unless he loves it, and I sort of feel the same way. Like, make
well, especially at this point, because we're so close to when we just picked all these players because we liked them.
Would you give up Michael Wacha for John Lester?
That's a good one.
I don't think I would.
Yeah, I would. Gosh. I think I've got more doubts about Lester than I realized, because I'd have a hard time doing that.
Yeah.
So I have to say no.
All right, hey, remember yesterday I was looking up the most added players, and they were all catchers, and then I realized I was sorting by catchers. Uh-huh. Well, it's occurred to me that earlier today when I looked up the most traded players, I had sorted by starting pitcher. So
can I go back to John Lester real quick?
Yeah, he's actually third on the most traded list. Yes, go ahead.
You know I like to talk about the BABIP against. You want to guess what Lester's is?
Like 450?
434.
See, not as bad as I thought.
It's going to get so much. I mean, he's got so much regression coming.
The point, though, with Lester is I felt like he was overrated going into the year because people were basing it on last year, and he's hardly ever been that good in his career.
He's still striking out 8 batters per 9, which is better than he did in 2012 or 2013.
I'm just curious, who do you like better, Lester or Samardzija, rest of the season?
Lester.
How about you, Adam?
I think I'd go Lester. I do worry about Samardzija, too.
I think I really am down on Lester because I was willing in a league to trade Wacha and a second pitcher, Pomeranz,
yeah,
for Samardzija.
Okay, now we all know how down you were on Zach Greinke to start the year. So would you either have Lester or Greinke?
And yeah, and that was the next place I was going to go, and I would rather have Lester.
that is not a fair way to characterize how Al felt about Zach Greinke.
Oh, it was. He had him like... Yes. 35th or something.
No. He had him top 30 in a cluster.
23rd.
In a cluster with a whole bunch of similar starting pitchers, and he just said uneven K rate, dropped him a little bit, but he still liked Zach Greinke.
Yeah. So I would rather have Lester than Greinke because, again, I didn't draft Greinke, and not because I hate him, but just because they're guys I thought were better values.
Right.
And so because I don't have that initial investment in Greinke, I would be willing to take the flyer on Lester. So I'm just, if you're in leagues with me, I'm like telling people how to trade with me here because I really value the players I've got much more than I probably should.
So it's impossible to trade with you.
I guess so.
Hey, I want to look at, okay, so Lester's number 3. 1, 2, and 4 on the most traded list are all outfielders in the same outfield. Which team do they play for?
Outfielders in the same outfield.
They are the
you
most
have a guess, L?
Traded so players.
What was the first part of that?
Most traded.
Most traded. Oh.
These are three of the top four most traded players, and they're all in the same outfield.
I'm going to go Marlins.
I'm going to go Padres.
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
Padres.
Will Myers, one. Justin Upton, two. Matt Kemp, three.
Yeah, I don't that really, surprises me.
I don't get the Kemp and Upton stuff. I get the Myers thing. I think they're
I
all
know I'm a notorious Googler. I did not look that up. That was... I kind of do because there's a wide... I think there's a lot of people maybe that were down on those guys because, oh, they're playing in San Diego.
Are they still high guys for you?
I can't figure out the Will Myers thing. I
wouldn't sell him high.
I don't understand why they keep putting him at leadoff. He shouldn't be hitting at leadoff, but as long as they leave him at leadoff, I can't think you can sell high.
Well, why? Because I would think if you're worried about him staying at leadoff, and I'm guessing part of the problem here is you think maybe he's going to lose RBI.
Well, but I think it's just changing. They're trying to change who he is.
Well, look,
he's not going to be a home run hitter in San Diego.
He scored 13 runs in 14 games. So I'm not going to project him for 150 runs, but if he hits leadoff.
I think that's second only to Kendrys Morales.
Really? Well, look, if he hits leadoff for the Padres, 100 runs is pretty realistic, don't you think?
He's going to score 100 runs if he stays in leadoff.
And I don't know that that's going to ruin his home run power. I mean, it seems like typically when you put a power hitter in the leadoff spot, they don't stop hitting for power.
He's hitting a lot of doubles this year, I believe.
Yeah.
He's got
well,
five.
And that's kind of what you would think. A power hitter in San Diego is going to hit a lot of doubles.
Yeah, but that could happen in the cleanup spot for him.
And I do take it back. I said that he hadn't walked all year. He did finally get his first walk.
Oh yeah,
completely changes the whole analysis.
14 games into the season, well, I just don't. I don't understand why they're putting a guy that's going to be around a 300 on base percentage in the leadoff spot.
Well, tell that to Ned Yost. Got Escobar there.
Oh, I know. I guess maybe that's why I'm so frustrated with this.
All right, well, let's just talk about Myers. And do you think you could get better value for him right now? What would you do with the most traded player in our leagues?
I don't think I would sell high yet. I think Will Myers is the type of hitter that's going to have a couple of hot streaks, and he may present a really good time to sell high in the near future.
Val, you wouldn't sell high, right?
No, absolutely not. I mean, it could be the year where he fulfills that upside.
Let's go down to number six on the list, Colton Wong, and then number seven, Mookie Betts. Those seem to be more of the buy low, in my opinion. I don't know how people are valuing Betts. Wong, it would have to be a buy low. He's been terrible. How do you feel about Wong and Betts?
Yeah, optimistic. And I know I said earlier in the podcast that Wong's not a slam dunk to be top 10 in Roto, which I think is his better format. But you know, being on the fringes of the top 10, there's nothing wrong with that, and it's certainly better than what he's projecting to do right now. So I do think of Wong as a guy who's going to finish right around there, around 10th in Roto and top 15 in points at his position. And Betts is just a tremendous talent who's going through a slump, and we've seen last year and very early this year what he's capable of doing, and I think we'll see that for most of the season.
I was down on Wong coming into the season, so I guess, I mean, there's nothing's changed, so I can't really well say that I don't see him necessarily a good buy low, no.
Okay, Heath, I'm going to read a few names for you, and you tell me. Heath, I'll read a few names for you, and you tell me who you want to either trade away or acquire, if any. Tanaka, Waka, Polanka, Cespedes, Greinke, Archer, Shelby Miller.
I'm going to hold on Cespedes. I do think if you can get somebody to buy high on Greinke, I would sell high on him, even though I like him. He's not going to be as good as he's been. Can I still buy low on Tanaka?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll buy low on Tanaka.
I think you still can. In fact, I think a lot of owners might look at last start on Saturday and say, now I'm going to sell high on Masahiro Tanaka.
Right. And I'm not going to buy high, so I'm not buying based on that last start. But if I can still buy low on him, I'll do that.
I got four names for you here and four down. You tell me if you're worried about any of them. Jay Bruce, Brian Dozier, Melky Cabrera, and Steve Pierce, who has sat 3 out of 5 games in 2 straight, Steve Pierce.
Well, there's that. And even aside that for Pierce, I still have some skepticism. And I know a thing that I said frequently during draft season was, here's a guy who, even when he was hurt, he just produced more. But the relative lack of track record for him does make me worry more about him. Excuse me. I'll have worries about the others, the other three that you mentioned. But Pierce, I have a little bit of skepticism.
Yeah, if I was going to put them in order of who I'm most worried about, Pierce, I'm second most worried about Melky, and I'm not really worried about Bruce or Dozier.
I don't see how you can't be at all worried about Jay Bruce. I was thinking about dropping him in our 3 outfielder league.
What is it exactly?
Last year. You know, and now he's just off to a terrible start. And he's the kind of guy that in a points league where you're setting your lineup every week, you know, it's different in a roto league where vintage Jay Bruce, you knew you're going to deal with the slumps, but at the end of the year, the production was going to be great. Like in a head-to-head league, he's a pain in the butt because he goes so cold. I mean, like if he weren't coming off last year, I'd be like, oh, he's just super cold. He's going to get super hot. But
right.
I don't think it's a guarantee anymore with him.
Well, I just look at what he's done so far. And, you know, the thing that you always have to keep in mind this time of year is that two or three base hits makes a dramatic difference in your batting average. So if other things are there, there's a very good chance for him to turn things around very quickly. He's walking a lot. He has a couple home runs. And granted, that's, you know, a home run a week from Jay Bruce is a little less than what you'd like to see, but it's in the neighborhood. So it's BABIP driven because the strikeouts are going to be there. And when we liked Jay Bruce, you know, 2 years ago, he was striking out a ton then. So the only thing that's really different between now and his better years is just a couple fewer hits on balls in play.
Well, and I will say, comparing it to last year he had a career high ground ball percentage and a career low fly ball percentage. And those numbers have kind of gone back more mm-hmm. towards who he normally is.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's good to know. That's good stuff. All right. I think we're ready for... Oh, I just wanted to mention a few things with stolen bases. Micah Johnson stolen a base in 2 straight games. He's 26% owned. Anthony Rizzo has stolen 3 bases in his last 3 games. Last year, he stole 5 in 9 attempts. And Jose Iglesias was caught stealing last night, but at least he was trying. Heath, are you ready for some DFS talk?
Yes, definitely.
You're on your own today, my friend.
Okay. Why is that?
I haven't had any time. I don't know if Al has either.
I haven't either, so okay. It's the Heath show.
It's the Heath show. Well, how about I ask you guys some questions then?
Okay.
Oh, awesome.
Padres, once again, get a left-handed pitcher in Coors. Derek Norris is only 3,000. Must play, correct?
Played him yesterday. That worked out well.
Yeah,
I'll do it.
Derek Norris against left-handed pitchers is generally a really good play in Coors, I think, especially if it's not a good left-handed pitcher. Matt Kemp, Justin Upton are way up there at 4,300 and 4,600, but I think I'll probably still have at least one of them in there. Rockies against Brandon Morrow. Does Brandon Morrow come back to earth today?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
I would.
Okay.
But I'm still not
all the way down to 3,800.
Who?
Cargo.
Oh yeah, that was the thing. I still don't want to take Cargo because he's cold. What do you think?
And see, that's the thing. I think if you look at a lot of these winning lineups, you can't accurately do this, but they guess when the cold streak or the hot streak ends.
Yeah, so you take the guy whose value has plummeted. Like last week, I took a shot on Evan Gattis. It didn't work, but he was the 12th most expensive catcher.
I'm guessing you did that with Marte, right?
No, I did not do that with Marte.
Yeah. I get that, yeah.
But so I think that's one reason that Carlos Gonzalez is intriguing. The other thing is all these players in this Padres-Rockies game, their prices are so elevated because they're playing in Coors Field. Gonzalez is one of the only guys whose price is actually going down, so that makes him a good value. Let's go outside of Coors Field because that's kind of the obvious thing that everybody probably already knows. Indians left-handed batters against Hector Noesi. They've got a lot of cheap lefties. I like them.
So like Kipnis, because man, is he just... I played him yesterday and he screwed me.
Brantley, Chisenhall, Santana. Man, I like almost the whole Indians.
Okay. All right.
Pitchers. I'll give you 3 pitchers. You tell me who you like the most. These are our three biggest favorites of the day, and
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
Carrasco.
Okay. He is not the biggest favorite, but he is one of the three.
Colin McHugh?
No, he is an underdog.
He pitches for the Astros. He should not be an underdog, by the way, against Taiwan Walker. I don't know. And Jonathan Neese.
Jonathan Neese is the biggest favorite of the day against the Braves.
And how about Liriano?
And Liriano is the second biggest favorite.
Okay.
So Carrasco, Neese, or Liriano, they're all within $1,000 of each other. Who do you like the most, Adam?
Probably Carrasco.
Yeah, I think it has to be Carrasco. If you're going to spend up on pitcher, I mean, you can go with McHugh. I will have at least one tournament lineup with Taiwan Walker in it.
Why?
His stuff, the Astros' propensity to swing and miss, he's the kind of guy, he could put up 20 fantasy points. Now, he could completely ruin your team. That's why I'll only have one lineup instead of three or four, but I'm only going to have one with Walker, but he could make your night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he'll be low owned because he has a 17 ERA.
Yes, he does.
Okay. And then the cheapest play of the day that I like, again, I think we already talked about it a little bit with the Indians. Michael Bourne is only 2,500 leading off against Noesi.
Okay, then. I'm just going to look up, just for my sake, what Twins hitters have done against Jason Vargas in their career.
And while Adam's looking that up, I looked up Cargo.
Yes.
And kind of interesting, kind of sequel to what you were saying about Jay Bruce.
Uh-huh.
Tons of ground balls for Cargo so far.
That's not necessarily a good thing.
No. I think I'm going to steer clear of him.
Okay.
Well, Cargo said his timing is off.
If I remember right, I have not looked this up, so I'll be interested to see when you look it up. I feel like Jason Vargas, even though he didn't do well against them earlier this year, I feel like he just completely dominated them last year.
Oh, he may have, but he's not pitching well this year. Joe Mauer's got pretty good numbers, .400 batting average. But okay, this is when I wouldn't look at the numbers, because Mauer used to be a much better player.
Right.
Torrey Hunter, .333 batting average, .388, .467. Again, used to be a much better player. There's nothing here in this matchup that I think shows anything that you want to look at. Except that Josmil Pinto is 2-for-4 with a home run. So,
oh, well, that does matter. Yeah, because, I mean, four at bats.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's read some emails, unless you have anything else for us.
Well, since you love the batter versus pitcher, yesterday our weird suggestion at hitter was Jed Jerko, and Jed Jerko did very well. Well, Jed Jerko is 4-for-7 against Brian Matzek. So, there you go.
Okay. That works for me. So, he's probably fairly cheap for all the players at Coors, Jed Jerko?
Yes. Yeah, him and Derek Norris and Will Middlebrooks all down there around 3,000.
Emails from Moshe in Miami. Dear Bart, Skinner, and Chalmers. Did you have to Google that one, Heath?
No, I did not.
Okay.
It's the Flintstones.
It is. Approve and decide the move. I give Tyson Ross. I get either Shane Green or Chris Archer.
I disapprove.
Yeah, I would like Tyson Ross better than the other two.
Archer's closer, but still disapprove.
Dear
Shane Green has been amazing so far this year.
So
dear Ego, Id, and Super Ego, it's from Dave in Philadelphia. I'm in a 12-team Roto 2-catcher league. Darno was one of my catchers, and Mesoraco's the other. So who is the top prospect most likely to be brought up in the relatively near future? O'Brien, Swihart, anyone else?
I'm thinking it's Swihart, but I don't know that it's going to be the immediate future. I just think he's probably the first of the remaining catching prospects to get called up. I'm thinking just a wild guess, maybe within a month or so.
Here's a grade the trade from Josh in Omaha. 12-team head-to-head league, I traded away George Springer for Starlin Castro. And he's ready to get rid of Danny Santana.
That was a great laugh.
I know Al's not happy. That's like Al's, one of Al's favorite players, and then the shortstop that he just thinks is like super overrated. So grade the trade. Give up Springer to get Castro.
Yeah, that's a trying to figure out what variety of D, D or D minus.
It's a D minus.
Yeah, D minus.
Heath?
Yeah, I'm not quite as big of a George Swinger fan as Al is.
Was that an intentional George Swinger?
Yes, it was. but I still don't really like that trade, so I'll go D plus.
I am amazed I've never heard that before.
George Swinger?
Yeah, it's such the perfect nickname.
Because he swings, yeah, and misses, yeah, sure. Zach in Chicago, dear Giordano, Rosati, and Malnati. That appears to be Chicago-style deep-dish pizza joints.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I wasn't going to get that one. 12-team head-to-head categories league, stacked in the outfield with McCutchen, Jones, Springer, and Cespedes, but I really need an ace. Which outfielder would you try to move, and which number one slow starter do you think I should target in return? So he's got McCutchen, Jones, Springer, and Cespedes. Who would you move for a starting pitcher?
All right, here's a Lester deal I'd feel really good about.
Yeah.
See, you're nodding your head, so let's see if you agree with who you trade. I'm going to say Cespedes.
Well, if you can get Lester for Cespedes, then yes, I think that would be outstanding. I don't think you can, probably. You think we can, Adam? I mean, I'd try.
It seems doable.
Yes, I think it's very doable.
If you can trade Cespedes for Lester, then yes, I'm in. I might trade Springer instead.
Brendan from Barnett, Vermont. Virginia Tech.
It is from Virginia Tech.
You know, you've got the VT there, so it's understandable. Every time in the notes that you put Saturday, it's a capital SAT.
Yeah.
And I think it's something about the SATs.
No, it's not. It's a good thing there's no Actor Day week, because that would confuse you as well. ACT. Anyway. Yet. I've taken your advice. I began to fish for some buy-low candidates. It's a 10-team league. I traded Mookie Betts for John Lester. When it's all said and done, am I going to regret this move?
No.
No, I like
You're
that.
You're going to be very happy. The only person that would regret that move is Scott White.
Okay, Al and Heath, thank you so much.
Thank you, Adam.
Who's on tomorrow's show in the grab bag of fantasy analysts? Scott and Heath?
I believe tomorrow you will have Chris Towers.
Oh, okay.
Scott White. And me, unless I walk in here and you rudely tell me to leave.
I don't anticipate doing that, Heath.
Okay. I'm not going to show up at all.
Instead, I will just throw a baseball at 99 miles per hour at your hip.
Well,
or a phone at your head.
Yes.
Or a phone at your head. Okay, that's it for today's show. Thanks, everybody. We're back tomorrow.